Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Names we wear. Let's start with the question, what's in a name? As you know, names are very important to us. In many respects, the most important word of the English language to each of us is our name. The sound of our name has a ring to us that we like to hear. That is, unless we are in trouble with someone. Successful salesmen will tell you that using a prospect's name over and over again in the conversation helps to make the sale. The naming of children in biblical times was important business, much more than to today. Names were not given to children that day just because they sounded good or were the popular name that year. Names for children in ancient times were chosen because of their meaning. Sometimes the name that was chosen was intended to affect the child's identity and character. Names and meanings. I found these names and meanings in babiesnames.com, just to tell you where you can look up your name if I don't say it. Timothy means honor God. Tamara means palm tree or being solid. Mark means warlock. Jason is healer. Michael, who is like God. Larry is lovable. Marty is a servant of Mars, god of war. David is beloved. Todd is a fox. Trish is noble. Tyler's tile maker. And Randy is a shield. And those are just some of the names that we have here. Again, you can look up the meaning of your name. What's the first thing that you usually tell someone about yourself when you meet them for the first time? You tell them your name. If you're like me, you might forget their name. I'm horrible at remembering names. What is in a name? Listen to God's word. We find that names are important to God, our Father. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Mark 9:41. I tell you the truth, everyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. John 14:13-14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Philippians 2:9-11. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What an awesome picture. Turn with me to Matthew 1:18-25, where we're going to talk about Joseph and how God gave the name of Jesus to him. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It appears to me that the most important name in all the universe is the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God, and our only hope for anything good in this life and the promise of eternal life. That makes his the name above all other names. What is it about the name of Jesus that is so significant, so profound, so inspiring? Even today, some 2,000 years removed from those events in Bethlehem, what is it about the name Jesus? The infant to whom the name was given these years ago would grow into the most polarizing figure in the human history. His birth would scare the living daylights out of the most powerful of kings. His miracles would astound crowds of people. His ministry would attract thousands of curiosity seekers, as well as seekers of truth. His teachings would challenge the establishment, would endure for the millennial. His call to discipleship would promise nothing but persecution and harsh times, yet would attract millions over the centuries. His critics would blast him for the unorthodox ministry and eventually take him to the cross for his execution. His claim to deity would confound many, yet would be so unmistakable when the tomb was found empty, and his followers would spread their new religion all over the known world within a generation. Jesus is a remarkable individual. Names we wear. We find in the New Testament scriptures that those who obey the gospel are designated by various names or titles. Each one gives us a picture of who and what we are. Let's look at four of these names that are given to us in the scriptures. First name is Christian. The first name was actually invented by unbelievers. In Acts 11:26, we learn that it was in the city of Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. It was meant to be a derogatory term, and its use by non-Christians became widespread. If you study history, members of the church didn't adopt it as a badge of honor until well into the second century. No other name unites us closer in identification to Christ Jesus. To wear the name Christian means that we are proud of our relationship with Christ Jesus. It sets us apart from those who recognize others as their Lord and Master. To wear the name Christian is to say that we agree with what Christ said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. To wear the name Christian means that we agree with the assertion found in Acts 4:12. And when it comes to Christ, Jesus, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Are we proud to wear the name above all other names? Are we proud to identify ourselves as being a Christian? Are we living in times when the name is becoming unpopular and once again a term of scorn? More and more to identify oneself as a Christian is met with a sneer or brings ridicule. Let us remember the words of Peter found in 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The next word that we wear, the next name that we wear is disciple. The name that the early members of the church wore most often was disciple. It is a term of humility that means we recognize ourselves as being learners in the need of a teacher. We have much to learn. We have a need to know more about our God. We have a need to know more about his plan. We need to know more about the church and the doctrines we are to believe and observe. And we need to know how to develop the Christian graces of fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Peter talks about our need to acquire both book knowledge and life knowledge in 2 Peter 3:18, commanding us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How much do you spend in the Word of God as a dedicated disciple of Jesus Christ? How much diligence do we show in studying the example of Jesus Christ? How much effort do we put into applying to our lives the lessons we have learned? How often do we truly, sincerely ask ourselves in our everyday lives, what would Jesus do? Only living as he lived do we show that we are his disciples. Only living as he lived do we bear the fruit that glorifies the Father. Jesus said in John 15:8, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." The next name that we wear is we are a child of God. One of the greatest blessings of the gospel is that when we submit to it, we believe we become the children of God. When we place our faith in Christ and obey the gospel, we are born again into the family of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God." I don't think I fully appreciated this until I became a father to my own children. I love my children dearly and they mean the world to me. Now I think I have better understanding of the kind of love that God the Father has toward me. I know that my Heavenly Father will not withhold any good things that I need. Matthew 7:9 through 11 says, "Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" As their father, I know that my children look up to me and will imitate my example. Being human, I am not always worthy role model. However, we have the best of examples in our Heavenly Father. We ought, says Ephesians 5:1, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." If my children did not listen to me and depart from my instructions, I would discipline them. I did not do this because I want to satisfy my anger or prove to them that I have more power than they do. I discipline them because I love them and I want them to return to the right path. I must train them and sometimes chastisement is needed. Our Heavenly Father loves us to the extent that he does the same with us. We read this in Hebrews 12:5 through 6. "You are children of God and he speaks words of comfort to you. You have forgotten those words. My child, don't think it is worth nothing when the Lord punishes you, and don't stop trying when the Lord corrects you. The Lord punishes every person he loves, and he punishes every person he accepts as a child." Our Father corrects us. He corrects us through reading of his word, sometimes through the teaching and preaching from the pulpit. He corrects us through caring brothers and sisters who confront us when we're living in error. All these are ways that the Father corrects us. But he also corrects us and punishes us in our circumstances. It is not uncommon for him to use trials and tribulations to get our attention and make us examine the direction of our lives. Sometimes we can be so stiff-necked and thick-headed that our Father has to use a 2x4 to get us to evaluate our priorities and consider our paths. He will use afflictions and hardships to humble us and break our spirit. In the good sense, make us malleable in his loving hands. When we face troubles in life, it's easy to react exactly in ways that the scripture passage warns us about. It is easy to see no possible purpose in our circumstances. We can't see how any possible good can come of the situation. All it appears to be is pointless misery and useless suffering. But verse 5 says, "Don't think it is worth nothing when the Lord punishes you." God the Father knows what he is doing. It is in our time of trial that we need to draw closer to the Father and seek the lesson he wants us to learn. Verses 10 and 11 say, "But God punishes us to help us so that we can become holy like him. We don't enjoy punishment when we get it, but punish is painful. But later, after we have learned from being punished, we have peace because we start living right." Sometimes we don't allow God to work through our circumstances and we fail to learn our lesson because we give up. We think God has forgotten us, so we might as well forget God. We wallow in our anguish, despair over our problems, and get angry and just give up. This might be tempting, but verse 5 and 6 pleads with us. Don't stop trying when the Lord corrects you. The Lord punishes every person he loves, and he punishes every person he accepts as a child. Wearing the title of child of God is one that we should cherish. It is a reminder that we are beloved by the Heavenly Father, and he will care for us and protect us, and if need be, discipline, so that we might grow to be holy just like he himself. The fourth name that we wear is saint. According to the scriptures, each child of God is a saint. The meaning of the word saint simply means one who is sanctified or holy. The gospel calls us to a state of sainthood. That is, when we obey the gospel, God makes us a saint, meaning that we are set apart from the sinful world and consecrated to God as his own. This is made possible because we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. Note the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. While we are saints, sanctified and holy by the work of God as he cleansed us from our sins and sets us apart into himself. God expects us to be worthy of the title of saint in our everyday lives. He wants us to be saintly. Then we can and must do by seeking purity in our lives. We just spoke of how God's disciplining of us as his children is to help us to be more holy. That is what God is seeking in us. 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, as obedient children, do not be confronted to the former lusts, which are yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We need to cleanse our lives of sin and wickedness in obedience to God's word. We must always be ready as saints to serve. We must be always be ready as saints to do good work and to do the word of God. God's best opportunities are reserved for those who make the effort to develop purity in their lives. This should not discourage us, but encourage us to make every effort to eliminate from our lives those things that are displeasing to him. It should encourage us to separate ourselves from the affairs of the world so that we have the time and energy to say to God, I am here, ready and waiting, to do whatever you would have me to do for your glory as becomes one of your saints. Names we wear are Christian, disciple, child of God, and saint. All of these names or titles are given to those who obey the gospel. They all describe who and what we are in Christ. These are all honorable titles, and we should relish in them. And yet, each one carries responsibility along with their privileges. May we all wear them proudly and be worthy of them. To wear these names, we need to be part of his kingdom. If you have not been baptized into the kingdom of, or have something that you want to bring before the congregation, we give you the opportunity to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.